So there's three Shaktis. There's the Sambit Shakti, the Sandini Shakti, and the Hlandini Shakti. So the first is the cognitive potency, and Sandini is existential potency, and the Hlandini Shakti is the pleasure potency. So these are the three different potencies, also called Sat-Chit Ananda. These are the three components of what the soul or consciousness, pure consciousness, is made up of. So then Prabhupada makes the point in the purport that the Lord has knowledge just by glancing. So that's also referred to in the very first sloka of the Bhagavatam, very first verse is abhigya swara. And abhigya means to be aware of everything, fully cognizant of everything, indirectly and directly, all manifestations. And swara means independent, fully independent. So he's independent of all laws and fully conscious of everything going on around him. Prabhupada explains that for the Lord there's no problem, there's no hindrance to his perception of what's going on around him, and there's nothing that can block, no impediments block the cognition. Whereas there are impediments blocking the cognition of ordinary living beings. The cognition of the living beings has three divisions: direct, indirect, and perverted knowledge. So there's a very nice verse in the Ishapanishad, the very last verse: Agni naya sutaparai asman vishvani deva vayani vidvan yujajmash juharanam eno puyastam te nama uktam videma. O my Lord, as powerful as fire, O omnipotent one, now I offer you all obeisances falling on the ground at your feet. O my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know all that I've done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my sins, so that there will be no hindrance to my progress. So for the Lord, there is no hindrance to his progress. And unless we take shelter of the Lord, then there will be all types of impediments. So the prayer in Ishapanishad is, you understand exactly what the impediments are that are before me. I don't even know what is lying in my path, but you are fully aware of all the impediments. So whatever ones are going to be a hindrance to my progress, because it's not necessarily that an impediment is a hindrance to your progress. A seeming impediment could make you more serious, more dependent upon the Lord. So that's not necessarily a hindrance to your progress. In fact, just the opposite. If you have a very clear path without any hindrance or impediments, and you lead a very comfy, easy life, then maybe Krishna will put some problems there to make you dependent upon him when you take to devotional service. You're directly in the hands of Krishna. It's no longer your karma that you're suffering. It's now your relationship with Krishna. And he's arranging situations and circumstances according to what will remove all the hindrances to your progress. But your ability to be able to appreciate that, to be cognizant of that, is also dependent upon the Lord. So we're asking the Lord, help me to be Krishna conscious, which really means help me to be aware how you're making arrangements for me all the time. That's really what Krishna consciousness means. Krishna consciousness comes, so we're thinking of Krishna all the time, but Krishna consciousness is appreciating the arrangements that Krishna is making to bring us closer to him. So the Lord is so powerful. This word cognition, generally if we think of cognition, if I say to Atish, I want you to be conscious of your watch on your wrist. So it's a very, very passive exercise. You know, not a lot happens. Atish is sitting there and then he starts thinking about his watch and nothing really happens. But with Krishna, his cognition is the same as everything. It's the same as his movement, the same as his speaking, the same as his acting, the same as creating a universe or destroying a universe. He's so powerful. When he's conscious of something, when he's aware of something, when he glances at something, then immediately that can affect in so many different ways. So his cognition compared to ours, really everything Krishna is doing is just his cognition. Everything is just his awareness. If he chooses to dance, if he chooses to fight a demon, if he chooses to lift Govardhan Hill, these are just all expressions of his desire to want to do that. He doesn't struggle or strain or make big plans. He just thinks, desires, and it manifests. So that's the difference. So everything is just Krishna's cognition. So our sense perception is sense perception of material objects by mundane senses such as the eye, ear, nose and hand always produce a definitely perverted knowledge. This illusion is a presentation of the material energy which is influenced by the Sambhajñakti in a perverted way. So Prabhupada's using the word perverted quite a few times there. So I had a look in my dictionary, because generally when we think of perverted, we generally think of it in a certain way. But what, you know, when we hear, you know, something is perverted, you know, if somebody came up to you and said, Prabhu, the way you did that was perverted, you know, you'd be quite embarrassed, you know, you'd be looking to see if anybody had seen that, you know. You know, could you tell me that somewhere quietly, you know, Prabhu, what you're doing is in a very perverted way, you know. You're very paranoid and self-conscious. But if you look up the word perverted as Prabhupada's using it in its true sense, then deviating from what is considered moral, right or good, corrupted, unnatural, sick, distorted, abnormal, evil, twisted, impaired, warped, misguided, unhealthy, immoral, deviant, wicked, depraved, debased, debauched, aberrant, and vitiated. So that's a lot. There's a lot of weight there when you say your knowledge is perverted. There's a lot of issues going on there, you know. If you wonder why you're having problems on Sankirtan, you know, then and your knowledge is perverted, then what else do you expect, you know? So this negation of perception leads only to monism and personalism. So Prabhupada's saying the initial stage is you perceive, and it's perverted because it's through your material senses. And then if you want to go a stage further, you become a jnani and you start thinking, well, the Absolute can't be this, the Absolute can't be that, the Absolute can't be this. Then you get fragmental knowledge, you get some kind of knowledge, but that is only leads to impersonalism, monism. You understand everything that the spiritual world isn't, but you don't understand anything about what the spiritual world actually is. So you're kind of like in a neutral stage, like what the Buddhists are trying to do, just to negate, void out everything. So that's not perfect knowledge. And then, generally what the scientists are doing, or jnanis in general, is they're perceiving material phenomena through material senses, and then they extrapolate upon that on the mental platform to come up with some theory or some understanding. So that type of truth is very imperfect. So then Prabhupada goes on to say towards the end that only when the Samvit potency is enlightened by the Halandini potency, the blissful potency, then only do we start to attain knowledge of the personality of Godhead. So it's if you think about that, what the implications of that are is, because we don't generally think, if you go to a university and you're sitting there studying and then the lecturer looks around at everybody and says, I'm sorry, you're disqualified because you're not happy enough. You're not happy. And if you're not happy, then you're not qualified. But actually, that's actually what it... Srila Prabhupada said one time to a disciple, this disciple was really miserable, and Srila Prabhupada turned around to him and he said, your duty is to be happy. I am ordering you to be happy. He was telling the devotee, be happy, because he was so miserable and it was depressing Prabhupada, you know. This devotee, modes of nature, eternal, nature bada. Somebody, you know, Prabhupada was saying, no, your duty is to be happy. And sometimes if you're on Sangatan, I remember one time I was doing Sangatan and nobody was stopping. This was going on. You know, normally nobody stops for about 5 or 10 minutes and it's not a problem on Sangatan. Yeah, it's okay. Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna, excuse me. Hare Krishna, excuse me. But then when it goes on for like, you know, like for an hour, then you really start wondering, you know, have I cut myself shaving? You know, have I not put my trousers on this morning? Somebody written idiot on my forehead? You know, you start wondering, you know. And then when it gets to 2 hours, then you're really... You know, it usually takes about 20 minutes if you ever time yourself on Sankirtan. After about 20 minutes of nobody stopping, that's when you start getting the shakes, you know. You start, no matter how fired up you thought you were, you know, you really start wondering about everything, you know. Is Krishna really God, you know? Is it really, you know, have I got this right, you know? So 2 hours and you're really, you know, you're really into a freak out zone, you know. And then I just caught my face. I was actually on Oxford Street up at the top and I caught my face in the reflective glass on some shop. And first of all, I didn't recognize it. I just looked and I thought, who is that very, very sad person? He looks so sad. And then as I looked, I thought, oh, that's me, you know? And I thought, no wonder nobody's stopping. because you have to be happy. You have to be happy because people, you are representing, as Vaisheshika says, the ambassador of goodwill. You know, you're representing the whole spiritual world there. And if you're miserable, they're thinking, well, whatever it is you're into, it's not working for you, so it's not going to be working for me either, you know? So being in a happy state of mind, being enlivened in devotional service is a prerequisite. It has to be there. Enthusiasm, utsaha, nishchandarya, to be enthusiastic. How can you be enthusiastic if you're miserable? Have you ever seen anybody, have you ever seen a miserable person being enthusiastic? You ever seen that? You ever seen a really enthusiastic person crying his eyes out? Oh, I don't want to do this. But he's doing it really, he's really into it, you know? You never see. So if you want to be enthusiastic, then that entails being happy. You have to switch on the happy button. And the nature of the soul is, Halini Shakti, you're deep down inside, somewhere inside, deep down in there is a happy you. Just waiting to get out, you know? You're just trying to, and when you're doing Sankirtana, you're doing your devotional service, you're reasserting your natural state. Yes, I am happy. And the mind's saying, no, you're not, you're miserable. No, I am happy. So there's a tug of war going on between the soul and the mind. No, no, you're happy. You're miserable. It's raining. You've got a hole in your shoe. Everyone else is miserable. You should be miserable too. No, no. That's not my nature. My nature is, I am happy. That's my Haridini potency. And then the Samvit Shakti can start to become activated. Then we can start to become conscious of our relationship with Krishna. So when we do that, then in the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because this is the run-up now to Gaurapanim, so we're getting into Lord Chaitanya consciousness. What did Lord Chaitanya come for? What did the Acharyas come on behalf of Lord Chaitanya for? What was the plan? So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In every town, country, and village, my name will be sung. There is no doubt that this unquestionable order will come to pass. Although there is still no pure society of Vaishnavas, because at that time there wasn't, Lord Chaitanya's prophetic words will, in a few days, come true. I am sure. Why not? Nothing is absolutely pure in the beginning. From imperfection, purity will come about. Oh, for the day when the Western fair-skinned men from one side, while chanting Jai Sachinandan Ki Jai, will extend their arms and, embracing devotees of our country coming from another side, treat us with brotherly feelings. When will that day be? On such a day, they will say, our dear Aryan brothers, we have taken shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, who is the ocean of transcendental love. Kindly embrace us. When will that day come? So we can maybe have a hugging session after class, just to bring these prophetic words into fruition. So then, also another prophecy by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Interesting prophecy. He says, the Gaudiya literature will not long remain confined to the Bengali-speaking people. It will in a short time expand and display its full brilliancy through the medium of all the languages, including those of birds, beasts, and the vegetable tribes. So, words of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, if anyone has any realizations on that, then they're very welcome to share them with the other devotees. I asked Shiv Ramraj on shivramswami.com, does that mean we have to preach to the carrots? And Shiv Ramraj said, no, you just offer them to Krishna. So everyone should preach, and so this one is it's a little bit of a long one, but it's a really nice one. This is just Bhaktisiddhanta, because there was a lot of Babaji business going on in Bhaktisiddhanta's time. A lot of Babaji business, a lot of people were, I am chanting Hare Krishna, and there is nothing else to do, you know. So he smashed all that. This is one of the typical points he delivered. To make sure that there is no place for sloth, bad conduct, trivial thought, gossip, or vulgar desire at the mat, you must go door to door, where your Harikirtan will be tested by the public. They will think they are the givers and you the receivers of alms. In other words, that their status is higher than yours, and will criticize you in many ways, considering you objects of their mercy. Perhaps also some of them will be ready to kick you out. Then on one hand, you will be able to become Trinada Pisanichena, lower than straw, a manada, respectful to others. And on the other, you will take sincere care to make your lives and characters pure and exemplary. Besides, it will be beneficial for you that as you correct the mistakes of the common people by citing the message of Sadhu Shastra and Guru Varg, you yourselves will not commit these same mistakes. Do not be upset if anyone criticizes you personally, but your Guru Varga, the Shastra, and the Mahajans are completely faultless, supremely liberated, and eternal associates of the Lord. And by speaking the actual truth, you should correct anyone who criticizes them. By doing so, both yourselves and the foolish criticizers will gain topmost auspiciousness. You may cultivate unenthusiasm for door-to-door bhiksha, and while still beset by anattas, indulge in slothfulness on the plea of trying to avoid others' criticisms, and consider nirjan bhajan as one's best interests. But in so doing, your character will not become corrected, nor will you be able to attain the life of actual devotional practice. I will never give you the opportunity to become deceitful on the path of devotion by your absconding to a reclusive residence where no one will hear your words or even see you, and your heart will thus remain undisciplined. You are my dearest friends. You may fall into difficulty, you may gain temporary honor from the public, or temporarily become the object of their blasphemy, which you find unpleasant and intolerable, and thus desire to give up the path of satisfying Bhagavan's senses to engage in satisfying those of the public and of oneself. But I will not allow this to happen to you. So, kind of says it all, doesn't it, really? So the significance of actual welfare work, this is a nice one, just from Bhaktisiddhanta. He says, the thousands of karmis who have opened innumerable hospitals, old age homes, centers for the poor, and schools, and thousands of jnanis who have undergone meditation and severe austerities are insignificant compared to a single Kanishna Adhikari Vaishnav once ringing the bell before the Lord's deity. This is not sectarianism, but plain truth. Atheists are wholly incapable of realizing this, thus they become either direct or indirect blasphemers of devotional service or adherents to the doctrine of harmonistic all-inclusiveness. Being averse to Lord Vishnu, countless jivas have come to Mahamaya's dungeon to envy Lord Vishnu in countless ways. To deliver even one of them from Mahamaya's fortress and make him a devotee of Krishna is unlimitedly better welfare work than the construction of countless hospitals and schools. So just kind of putting the whole thing in perspective. That's just a Kanishna ringing a bell before the deity. What to speak of all the different activities that we're engaged in. Just the other night when we had this kirtan, I was here for the kirtan in the evening, and the temple room was jam-packed, and it was a very, very sweet atmosphere. Everybody was absorbed in the holy name. And I was thinking how Srila Prabhupada would be so pleased to see, you know, the place is full to capacity. You know, you couldn't squeeze any more in if you tried, you know, just jam-packed and everyone just chanting. So very, very, very significant, very auspicious. So so just to round things up again, getting back to the Halandini Shakti, so then this is from the Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada makes the same point. He says, because one in Krishna consciousness is happy, he tries to distribute the knowledge of Krishna everywhere. Since the perfect yogi tries to broadcast the importance of becoming Krishna conscious, he is the best philanthropist in the world, and he is the dearest servitor of the Lord. Nachatasman Manesha Kashchinme Priya Kritama. So there's none more dear to me. So automatically, if a devotee is happy in his Krishna consciousness, then he wants to share that happiness with others. If a devotee is not so happy, then he doesn't feel he has anything to share with anybody else. You know, do you want to share my misery? But if he's happy, if he's experiencing the bliss of Krishna consciousness, then the natural outcome is, let me go and share this with other people. And we create our environment when whatever devotional service that we're doing, we create the environment that we're in by the vibration, by what's coming out of our mouth. What's coming out of our mouth is what's going on in our mind. So if we're chanting Hare Krishna, then that's controlling the environment, then we're in a happy, blissful atmosphere, and then we can share that. When you're on Sankirtan, you're in your little bubble, you have this little Vaikuntha bubble. You're pulling people out of the vortex of the material energy, they're going along. Thinking of buying this sense object or that one or wherever they're going, and they're fixed completely, and then all of a sudden you drift in, you know, Hare Krishna, excuse me, and there's a whole vibration around you, which is the ether has been affected, you know, the ether is affected very, ether is close to the mind, it's far from the mind, it's the most, one of the most subtle elements, and vibration affects the ether, So if you come into a room and the man's just shot his wife with a machine gun and rolled her under the bed, and then 5 minutes later you walk into the room and say, "How's it going, Fred?" And he says, "Well, it's, you know, struggling along, you know." And you're thinking, "I don't know where it is, but there's just something about Fred that's weird today, you know. There's just something in the atmosphere. I don't know what it is, but I'm just, you know." So the atmosphere is affected by the vibration. So if chanting is going on, the vibration, then that affects the mind, and the people you come in contact with, their mind is affected by that atmosphere. And it's easier for them, then they become enlivened, and it's easier for them to engage in devotional service. So the qualification for preaching is happiness. And our mission, Lord Chaitanya sent his generals, such as Srila Prabhupada, and we say every day, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharani, Gauravani Pracharani, Nevishesha Sunyavadi. So our mission is to as Srila Baladev Vijayabhusan writes, in the same manner as asuras try to shoot arrows at my personal form, meaning Krishna, the source of all bliss, the Mayavadis attack my personal form, trying to destroy it with their arguments. So we're defending Krishna from the arrows of the Mayavadi arguments. No, Krishna doesn't have any arms, he doesn't have any head, he doesn't have any this, he doesn't have any that. In this way, they're attacking Krishna. So one who identifies himself as a follower of Lord Chaitanya, this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's a nice one of my favorites. One who identifies himself as a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, Iha sabara kon mati hobi nishtara. How will all these yavanas be delivered? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always anxious to deliver the fallen souls because their fallen condition gave him great unhappiness. So we should adopt the cause of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to try to relieve the anxiety he feels. This is actually service to the Lord. And just to round it off, and then if there's time for some questions, this is just the significance of Lord Chaitanya. We had a Garanga campaign going for a while in Scotland, which was very nice. And So this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's just the importance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in our process of approaching Radha and Krishna. So in one sense it applies to us all, because we all consider ourselves Kanishtas, personally speaking anyway. There are offences. This is from the CC, Adi Leela, chapter 8, text 31. There are offences to be considered in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but there are no such considerations in chanting the names of Gaura Nityananda. If in spite of being an offender, one who chants the holy names of Gaura Nityananda, he is very quickly freed from the interactions of his offences. In the beginning, one should very regularly chant Sri Gaurasundara's holy name, and then chant the holy name of Lord Nityananda. Thus one's heart will be cleansed of impure desires for material enjoyment. A neophyte student who is not sufficiently educated or enlightened should not indulge in the worship of Sri Radha and Krishna or the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Since everyone in this world is more or less influenced by sinful activities in the beginning, it is essential that one take to the worship of Guru Gauranga and ask their favor. For thus, despite all his disqualifications, one will very soon become qualified to worship the Radha Krishna Vigraha. One should not consider one name to be more potent than the other. Considering the position of the people of this age, however, the chanting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name is more essential than the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most magnanimous incarnation and his mercy is very easily achieved. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So any questions or comments about that?